Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Okay, a little bit of background on Make Me More Like Thee. I was sitting over there in my seat, and I was thinking, Lord, more in 2024. And Ken and they started singing this song, Make Me More in 2024 Like Jesus. More prayer, more Bible reading, so much more that we can tap into. God is so good. God is so very, very faithful. He is faithful. We're continuing on healing tonight. And there's so many different ways to receive our healing. I'm going to go through it. We're really just barely going to touch on this. That's really good, Jill. I like that. the eyes, you know. There's so many ways to receive healing. I'm going to go through a couple of them. And I'm going to actually give you just a real quick something that I found out just today through a little bit of research. It didn't take much. We can be healed by the name of Jesus because we can speak the name. The name of Jesus carries with it power, and we can speak life and not death. We can actually choose it, but we choose it with our mouth and what we say. The second way to receive healing is through the laying on of hands and impartation, that we would lay hands on somebody and impart what's in us can flow through them. Be careful, you know, who you lay hands on and who you let lay hands on you. We can do the anointing of oil. The oil represents the power of the Holy Spirit to heal. Healing cloths. In the Bible, they anointed aprons and prayed over them and sent them forth. And I have said this in my healing class before. Many, many people, if you were to hand someone a handkerchief that had flu on it, they don't want to breathe that in because they know that that's transferable. How much more the power of God would be transferable if we would send that forth? And we've actually done that and had great success. Also, the receiving of communion, the honor of the cross, is an avenue to receive our healing. And finally, the prayer of faith. But there are actually so many different ways to receive our healing. Something, as I was studying today, I came across something that a man was teaching on, actually a Christian man. It's called fetal cell migration, or the development of microchisms. And I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. But what it boils down to is when a mother is going to have a child, the mother and the child exchange cells. We know that the cells from the mother go to the child, but in 1997, they began to really extensively research this. But now they have come to find out that the cells from the child also go back into the mother. In other words, there's an exchange of cells. And to me, at first, I looked at that and I didn't think a lot about it. I thought it was very, very cool until the man said that that's an avenue for mothers to be healed when they're sick. And that caught my attention immediately. And so I want to read to you a verse. I immediately, when I hear something like that, I go to Scripture. If you can't back it up by Scripture, to me, you know, whatever you guys think, go right ahead and think it. But when you go to 1 Timothy 2:15, or it's 15 or 13, I can't even read my own notes here, but it's 2:15 or 13, 1 Timothy. But here's what it says about childbearing. It says, notwithstanding, this is talking about a mother, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. Let me tell you something about that verse. When it says she shall be saved, the word save is a word called sozos. It means healed. It means the mother shall be healed through the avenue of childbirth. So if here's what happens scientifically. When the exchange of cells happen, if a mother becomes sick, the cells of her child go to the place of sickness, and this confirms that verse, and can actually participate in the healing and the health of that mother becoming, and the reverse is true also. And I thought, how awesome is that, that God created our bodies? But it gets even a little better. The cells of an oldest child can go into the next subsequent children that are born and fight for them. And those children younger than me can also rise up and fight for me. If that's not cool, I don't know what is. Who does things like this? Who decided on a system like this? God did. God did. He is the one who, we may discover it, but God is the one who ordained it to be that way. So I'm going to set a background tonight for part two of healing. First of all, we need to speak more about the cure than the curse. And we're guilty so many times of speaking about what's wrong. What's wrong? And anything that sickness is from the enemy. So when we're speaking so much about the sickness, we're speaking about him. We're speaking about what he's doing and not about the cure, which is Christ and the cross. So we should honor Christ and not COVID, not cancer or diseases or any other work of hell. We should honor the cross and the Christ and Christ. Number two, we're heirs of the King, and healing is actually our rightful and legal inheritance. It is legal. It was bought and paid for. It belongs to us. What you don't know can hurt you. What you don't know will hurt you. You need information from the Word of God, but you also need revelation from the Word of God, and you also need to apply the Word of God. Healing is a gift that Jesus receives. Salvation and healing are gifts, and I've said this before, but they must be received. God's not going to force you. He's not going to force salvation. He's not going to force you to be saved or live a godly life. And he's not going to force you to be healed either. I mean, you can continue to do things to damage your body. He's not going to force healing on you or salvation. Number five, obedience positions you and I to receive the gifts that are already available to us. Praying without obeying, not going to happen. Will not bear fruit. Never take no from Satan when God has said yes in his word. Why do we accept a no from the enemy when God has said, yes, this belongs to you? Number seven, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and heaven is real. All three of them are perfect together. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and heaven is real. All of those are gifts. Number eight, Jesus invites us to ask for what we need, for what we desire, just as we ask our children and our grandchildren at Christmas time or at birthdays, what would you like? What do you need? We invite them to ask. Jesus has invited us to ask for what our needs. And he says in his word, if you ask for bread, he will not give you a stone. If I ask my dad for a Barbie, he's not going to give me a Chatty Cathy doll. You know, that's just the way it works with good fathers and good mothers, because that's dishonoring. That's disrespectful. That's joking. That's mocking. No, that's not what a good father does. So this is very important that you and I understand and are taught about healing and what God's will is regarding healing, because although you may not be sick, there is a possibility at some time in your life that you would become sick. I pray not. I pray that you are in health. Jesus said it was his will that we would prosper and be in health. But he also said, even as our soul prospers, so he's more interested in our soul prospering than he is in us being all well and good. So, but we need to know what God's word says about this. And I believe that, you know, everybody says at the beginning of the year, they want a word, a word, a word. If I were to pick a word, you know, I can't say this is prophetic or anything, my word would be healing, because I want to see bodies healed. I've seen too many people that are broken, that are sick, that are going through cancer battles, all kinds of things. You guys know that my cousin Shirley had been diagnosed with cancer and was having surgery last week. Her husband, Bob, was diagnosed just days later with colon cancer. Well, I have good news. Shirley went to have surgery, and they removed the cancer, and our prayer was no chemo, and they said no chemo. So we are very 100% happy and trusting God. But my heart is that God would heal bodies, hearts, homes, marriages, relationships, that he would heal finances, that he would heal emotional illnesses, all kinds of things. Because my belief is, according to the word of God, and I can support that, that whatever is broke, God wants to fix it, and he is able to fix it. And so that's my stand. Mark 11, 23 and 24, which you know, but could, if you heard this a million times a day, it would be insufficient. For truly I say to you, that's to all of us, I own that, if anyone says to this mountain, notice it doesn't say when, because everybody's not going to do that. It says if. So if you make a choice to speak to the mountain, to the obstacle, to the sickness, to the disease, go throw yourself into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but truly believe that what you say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, that again is us, whoever you, if you consider yourself you, and it will be yours. By telling us all, something's a little off here. Do I need to?
Sounds good. We're doing the switch. Okay. Put that one back where it belongs. And we can fix this, Frida. Frida, I got it fixed. Okay. We're mobile now. We're mobile. To all of you over here and some of you over there into the uttermost parts of the earth, this is for you. In order to receive this passage, that we need to ask in prayer and we need to believe and not just, it. In other words, it doesn't need to just be empty words. Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me. We need to have faith in our heart. We need to stand on the word and the promises of God and be convinced completely of the word of God, because faith comes by hearing. That's why we need to hear. Why do I need to hear about healing? Why do I need to hear scripture about healing that I have heard before? Because your faith is built. Faith comes to you, comes into your body by hearing. So if you hear it, somebody's got to speak it, whether it's you yourself or a pastor, a teacher, a friend, someone's got to speak that to you and give you the good news. When you go into a doctor's office and you're sick, you don't want to hear the bad news, do you? You want to hear faith words. You want to hear the good news. You want to hear words of hope. That's encouraging. So we need to speak to the mountain, not have doubt in our heart, and believe that whatever we say is actually going to happen. You know, I have had many experiences throughout my life, and I've known of people who had experiences who actually spoke so much in faith that they would do things. I remember one time I was trying to convince a young lady not to get an abortion. Please don't take the life of this child. And she was just really getting influence from the outside to take the life. She was a security guard at a shelter. And so one of the things I felt God said is buy her a crib and buy her some baby gifts so she will be forced to see this. And you continue to speak about the baby. Call it a baby. Don't ever let anyone call it a fetus or tissue or anything else. Call it a baby and begin to ask her questions like, if this baby was a boy and you did decide to carry it to term, what would you name him? Him. Make it a him. If this baby, you decided, suppose you did decide and changed your mind, I wish you would, if you decided and you had a little girl, what would you name her? Oh, I would name her after my grandmother. What a beautiful name that is. I think you should do that. I think you should consider that. She did keep her baby. I'm telling you, we have to speak words of faith, and we have to speak things that are not as though they are. As though they are going to take place. Right now, I'm sick, but I need to still speak about the day when I'm healed. I'm going to go on a vacation as soon as this healing has become manifest to me, because the healing's already mine. So I make plans for the future based on what Jesus did, not based on my circumstance right now. So we need to think about that. I need to plan for the future based on the cross and the promises of God, not on my situation or my circumstances. I may be in bondage now, but I need to say, when I get out of this situation, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to church, I'm going to stand at the altar, and I'm going to tell everybody about how you got me out, God. I need to speak words of faith and prepare for that, to receive that gift. Mark 16:18 says that they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I have always liked this verse. Always, 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 because of the double meaning here. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I used to toy with myself and say, who's the they that's going to recover? They shall lay hands on the sick and they that lay the hands are going to recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick, they shall recover. And the Holy Spirit said, they will both recover. As I lay hands on you and I stand in faith for you, something happens in my own physical body. Spiritually happens to me. I believe that they who lay hands on are also healed, and they that are sick. So what a great thing that God heals us all. It makes a great case for God healing us all, this too many. And so many scriptures are like this, where you can see two or three things within a scripture if you really are studying and you really are digging it out. And the Bible example for that I like to use is Job's captivity was turned around when he prayed for his friends. What you do for someone else, God will step in and do for you. And I am aware, and this is a very sad thing to say, but I am aware that there are believers, so-called believers. I guess I would call them Christians more than believers, because if you believed, you would believe the entire word of God, including healing. But I believe that there are Christians who believe that God sometimes, for various reasons, places sickness on people and for a purpose in their lives. I want to say 100% that I know that God does not put sickness on anyone on purpose or for a purpose. That would be a schizophrenic God, that I put sickness on you and then I tell you to believe for healing. What kind of game is that? That is not how God, that is not according to the character and the nature of God. God's character is consistent. I said yesterday during service, our reputation is who people think you are. And you know, you want a good reputation, but that is not what's important. What is important is your character, who you are day and night when everyone's watching you and when no one's watching you at all. I heard recently about some famous movie star, celebrity, whatever, that they said is a terrible person. Now, I look at this person, oh, she's wonderful, she's awesome, she's just giving away gifts and everything, and they say all of her staff have quit multiple times. This is a mean person. So her character is not, we know she's got a good reputation, but it's coming out now that her character's not matching that. And I always say that about gifting. You know what, and Pastor Ken has said it, nobody wants a mean prophet. You can say the right things with the wrong heart and you're still a false prophet because you've got the right, you got the wrong spirit and you got the wrong motive behind that too. I can tell Frida, you look gorgeous tonight, just gorgeous, and literally mock her because the motive is all wrong. The words are completely right, but the motive is wrong. So you can be a false prophet by telling someone something that's a lie, and you can say that sweet and tell them a complete lie. The Lord says to me that you need to get ready for the $1 million lotto win, Frida, the $1 million. You can say that. So it's a lie. That's a false word said with a nice voice. But there's also a true word said with a wrong motive, and it's nothing. Either way. So you want your character to line up with the word of God. And God's character never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he said in Exodus, I am the Lord, and he identified himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, he has not changed at all. He is still the Lord who heals. If anything, we're seeing lots and lots of healing miracles right now. Now, I will say that God can take what the enemy does. When the enemy brings harm or afflicts someone, God can turn that into something good. God didn't do that, but like in the case of Joseph, in Genesis 50 and 20, the words of Joseph to his brothers were, as for you, you meant this for evil against me. You don't see a verse with God. God was evil. You see, if you meant this for evil against me, you intended to harm me and to hurt me, but God determined this for good. He determined this would come out for good in order to bring us all to this day and to save many people alive. God will allow you to go through things like that woman did, the serial killer lady, to go through things because he has a determined good for you. He's already determined whatever for you is going to be good. The plan for you is going to be good. And he can redeem anything that you go through. So I've seen people, and I don't like it when I hear this, but recently I heard a woman give her testimony online. And she said, I cringed when I heard this. She said, I thank God for cancer. And I am just like, no, no, you don't. No, you don't. She said, I thank God for cancer. I thank God for the doctors. And because I went through cancer, I'm a better person. No, no, that is not true. I have seen people that battled cancer, sent and afflicted. Cancer is from the pit of hell. It is not a gift from God. It is an attack of the enemy. But having gone through that, I have seen people give their testimony and give the glory to God like Joseph did. The enemy meant this. He meant to take me out. His job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But what God has done in my life in affecting the cure, he is the cure. But to have someone, and I heard her, and I was just cringing. I thank God for cancer. I wanted to scream. I wanted to say, you are speaking to people that should never come out of your mouth. Why? Because the enemy just heard that. You thank God for cancer? Well, I've got a whole bunch of it. How would you like additional cancer on top of that? Because that's what he does. But God will redeem it all. The enemy, whatever he sends your way, he cannot get ahead of you because the promises of God belong to you and you can receive your healing. And so many times when we said this yesterday, when God wants to do a good work, he uses people. When the enemy wants to do wrong, he doesn't like to do his own dirty work. Did you know that about him? He likes to use other people too. And so that can happen often. But I love how God can use us in helping someone to receive their healing. Now, I'm not a healer. You're not a healer. But we can still lay hands on the sick and Jesus will heal them. He is the one who paid the price. I did not pay the price. I am the first one to say, I can't even cure your sore throat, your ear infection. I've got a few eardrops at home if you need them, but I have no stripes on my back. I can do very little for you. I pass out at the sight of blood. You know, can't help you get stitches. You know, I might bandage you up a little bit, but, you know, I got nothing. I got nothing except the power of God. The name of Jesus, I got that. I got that. I got the instructions from the Word of God. If you come to me and you're sick, I'm going to pull out the instruction book. I'm going to say, now, Frieda, you've been afflicted here. I don't like it. I feel bad. I want to go out to dinner. I don't want you to be sick. So I've got instructions here. James says that we can call. You can call. Now, the person needs to call for the elders. I truly believe that. Again, we don't push healing on anybody. We're not forcing people. Come on down. I know you got something. You know, I've heard preachers do this, by the way. Come on. They pull and they pull and they pull and they pull. No, you have to want it from God. You have to want it from God. Don't come under duress. But call for the elders of the church. And the elders of the church, that's Alan and Gio and Pastor Ken and myself and anyone else who wants to come with us. Come on. We're going to anoint this person, lay hands on them, and guess what's going to happen to you, Frieda? You're going to recover. You're going to get better. Will it happen overnight? I don't know. It could, but it might not. That's a supernatural miracle. If you call me in the morning and say it just happened, that's a supernatural miracle. But if it takes a few days and you get well, same thing. Same thing, because I know you could have died with that pneumonia. You could have died with that COVID, but you didn't. You got better. You got healed because healing. And by the way, healing is in our bodies, just like we talked about the mother to the child. Let me tell you, the laminin is in our blood, and it's in the shape of a cross. And when you see it in its raw form, the laminin, it literally looks like the head and the hands and the feet of Jesus. And there's millions of them in your body. There's really no excuse for us to say that there is no healing available to us, because there is. And so we need to understand. Sometimes I want to say it like this. Everything in the Word of God is important. Every single word, every period, every pause, everything is important. But also, there are many times when what's not in the Word of God can be important too. There's no verse, for example, in the Bible that says that you leave devils in some people. It says cast out the devils. There's no verse in the Bible that ever says that Jesus put any sickness on anybody. So it's not in there. So it's important that we know that he never said that. So many things are attributed that Jesus will do this. Sometimes I've heard pastors say just what I just said, that sometimes Jesus will put disease and sickness on people so that they will learn patience, so that they will learn compassion for other people, so that when they get healed, they'll know he did it. I don't read that in my Word of God. So if it's not in there, that's important for me to know. It ain't in there. So you can't talk about that to me. That's not in there. So we need to know what is in the Word of God and what's not in the Word of God. And don't be saying things that are not in the Word of God. Because my Word, when I read the Word of God, Jesus never turned away anyone who came to be healed, who wanted to receive. I'm going to ask our praise team to come, our worship team to come. Now, I'm going to close with this as they come. I've heard people say that the Bible says, if we suffer for him, okay, let's tackle this real quick, just while they're moving forward. The Bible says that if we suffer for him, we will also reign for him. Oh, wait, Pastor Pam, does that mean I'm going to have to suffer with the cancer and the COVID and the bad stuff? No. What did Jesus suffer? Did he suffer with leprosy, deafness, COVID, cancer? No, he suffered persecution. He suffered on our behalf. He took our place. He suffered, but he was not sick. Jesus is the healer. There's healing in his body. Remember when I talked to you about the man that Jesus put the mud on his eyes? And I said years and years ago, that formula, Jesus never healed in the same way anytime. And he reached down to the earth and he picked up the mud and he spit and he made a paste and he put it on a blind man's eyes. The man is blind and you just put mud in his eye. And to me, that's an insult. Okay, Jesus, you know, I'm going to talk to you like we're friends. To me, that's kind of an insult. Second thing, Jesus, that is nasty. That is nasty. Spit is nasty. I am sorry. We don't spit on people, Jesus. We don't do that. And so I asked him, I said, but so you're going to have to explain this to me because I'm a slow learner. Explain it to me, Jesus. I was telling my mother this last night. I asked Jesus questions, and I've never asked him one that he didn't answer. And so I asked him, I said, can you explain that to me? Because nobody's been successful explaining that. Just Jesus does what he does. You just listen, Jesus does what he does. But I didn't like it. I didn't like the spit thing. So I said, no, Jesus, we don't spit on people. And the Holy Spirit, just in an instant, I knew it. I had the answer. He said, spit in your mouth has bacteria. It's worse than a dog. Human spit is worse and more deadly and dangerous and infectious than a dog. But spit from the mouth of God is living water. And it's healing. Everything in Jesus is healing. One touch from him, even his clothing, it was all over his clothing. Oh, to be that anointed. I know Smith Wigglesworth was like that. The anointing was so heavy on him that people couldn't even stay in the building with him. One guy tried to stay in the building during a prayer meeting, and he wound up. He said, I'm going to stay as long as Smith stays. And the anointing fell so strong, the man was crawling out of the building. He said, I can't take it anymore. That's the kind of anointing we should be asking God for. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. We got to continue next week. Too much material.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.